Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this Pentecost Sunday, would you read together with me the title of our sermon?
Things aren't always what they seem.
Based on our Acts 2 reading today that Reuben read for us, listen to these verses. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "Ah, they are filled with new wine." I invite you to follow your handout this morning, to follow the sermon outline as we consider this curious and engaging theme, things aren't always what they seem. Well, things aren't always what they seem. Have you heard the story about the fly who prided himself in his high in IQ? This fairly intelligent fly saw a number of flies buzzing away on a sticky brown piece of paper hanging from a ceiling by the window. Immediately, he made plans to join them. But just before he landed, a friendly bee cried out, "My friend, don't go there. That's fly paper. That'll be the end of you." "Nonsense," said the fairly intelligent fly. "I can plainly see a big crowd of other flies there. That many flies can't be wrong." And with that, he landed on the sticky, poisonous fly paper and met the same fate as the rest of his friends. No matter how many believe something, some things aren't always what they seem. It's true for people as well as flies. Most of us today have a tendency to accept outward appearances as being authentic. Think of how many Hollywood movies give us false pictures of reality. Have you ever noticed that no Hollywood movie hero ever has a hard time finding a parking place in a busy city? He just pulls up his wheels right there and automatically there's a parking place right in front of him where he wants to go. And it isn't amazing that in hi-ya in the kung fu movies, 20 fierce and angry men grunt and grimace in front of the hero. But they individually and politely take their turn to attack the hero. And isn't it wonderful that the chief bad guy in a movie who shoots his sidekick for messing up an operation never seems to run out of a string of other bad guys to take the dead man's job? If I were one of those guys, I'd be looking for another line of work. Now, I don't know why people accept Hollywood's absurdities. But I do know this, and say it with me. Things aren't always what they seem. This is certainly true when it comes to Jesus and his church. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of you realize that last sentence I just spoke was a transition, an introduction into the theme of today's sermon. But if you think that now you can doze off because you got the rest of the sermon all figured out, don't forget today's title. With me one more time. Things aren't always what they seem. This is certainly true when it comes to Jesus. Jesus isn't always what he seems. You ask the average Jane or the average Joe on the street to describe Jesus, and they'll say something like this. Jesus was kind and good and gentle and caring and nice and a whole other list of mild manner attributes. Now, Jesus was certainly all of these things, but he was far more than that. Did it ever occur to you that one of the reasons Jesus was crucified was because he was considered by some people too dangerous to let live? Many of the upstanding religious leaders of Jesus' day were convinced that Jesus was a blasphemer who felt much more at ease with sinful, horrible people than good church folks of the day. They also saw Jesus as a threat to people, because he called them to allegiance to God and not to their Roman government rulers. These religious leaders wanted to put Jesus to death. They thought it better that Jesus die than he stir up a bunch of their countrymen to rebel against the rule of Rome. And even Pontius Pilate, the highest ranking Roman official in that area, thought it best to put Jesus to death because he considered him a possible political insurrectionist, and gave him the death of a murderer and a thief on a cross. You see, Jesus isn't always what he seems. Even Jesus' trial was not what it seemed. Jesus' trial was his fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It was Jesus' fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and not his weakness that kept him silent before Pilate at the trial. It was Jesus' commitment to paying for your sins and saving you from an eternity in hell that allowed him to be beaten and whipped and mocked and crowned with thorns and crucified. It was not because the whole thing was an unfortunate tragedy. It was Jesus' strength, not his weakness, that kept him on that cross, that you might be saved. His life was not taken by angry men. His life was given as his gift of love to you, that your sins might be forgiven and you might live in heaven. You see, things aren't always what they seem. When Jesus was crucified, it seemed that his death was the end of the story. It seemed that his message had been silenced. It seemed that his promises were buried with him in a borrowed tomb. It seemed that God had lost, that evil had won, and death was ruling the day. That's the way it seemed, but things aren't always what they seem. 3 days after Jesus' lifeless body was laid in a borrowed grave, sealed behind a great stone, he came back to life. This was the singular, most spectacular, most eternity-changing event in the history of mankind. Because Jesus rose from the dead, all who believe in him in their Redeemer are saved from the power of sin, saved from the power of Satan, saved from the power of the grave. Now, hearing that news, Jesus' disciples should have been dancing and shouting and proclaiming to everybody who would listen. But they didn't. Not then. Not yet. Even when they met their risen Lord in the upper room, when he showed them his pierced hands and resurrected hands and feet, they couldn't quite get it. They didn't really understand yet what they were to do. You might say, well, it seems pretty clear to me what they should be doing. They should be proclaiming Jesus' resurrection victory. But remember, things aren't always what they seem. And here's where we get to today's Acts 2 text about the day of Pentecost. Listen again to just a few verses of this wonderful text. When the day of Pentecost came, they were gathered together in one place. And the sound of a mighty rushing wind came, and tongues of fire rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the spirits gave them utterance. And people from many nations who were in Jerusalem were bewildered, saying, "How is it that we hear this message being spoken in our own language? Are not all these who speak Galileans?" And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "Hey, they're just filled with new wine." Here is a powerful miracle of God and the birthday of the Christian church. Here is the message of Jesus' resurrection being spoken to numerous people from numerous languages all at the same time by a number of blue-collar, unlearned Galilean fishermen. And someone who heard it said, "Ah, those guys are just drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning." But no, it was a powerful miracle of God the Holy Spirit. You see, things aren't always what they seem. This was the day of Pentecost. 50 days after Easter, this was the day Jesus kept his promise to his disciples that after he ascended to the Father, he would send to them the Holy Spirit. This was the day the Spirit came rushing in like wind and rested like tongues of fire upon their foreheads. This was the day by the Spirit's empowering, the disciples got it. They now understood and were empowered to fearlessly proclaim Jesus' resurrection. This was the day visitors from all around Jerusalem came and heard in their own heart language the gospel that meant the love of God was for people of every nation. This was the day the Spirit of God gave birth to the new Christian church. And 3,000 people came to saving faith in one day by one sermon. What a day! What a sermon! Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today, Christians all over the world celebrate the birthday of the church. Today we thank God for his gift of God the Holy Spirit, who continues to create faith in people's hearts, who continues to nurture and strengthen faith in believers' hearts, who continues to empower his people to share the good news of Jesus to people of every tribe and nation in the world. Pentecost is to be a major celebration in the church, like Christmas or Easter. Now, this should seem to be the case, but it's not. Some people, and maybe you, say things like this: Pentecost Sunday, blah, 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 blah. It's all quite boring. No one is putting Pentecost lights on their houses. No one is sending Pentecost cards to other people. Pentecost carols aren't playing at the mall. No newspaper tells you only 2 more shopping days until Pentecost. The birthday of the church? Big deal. And you've seen the news reports, haven't you, about the church? You've seen them in the newspapers or in the internet, on the TV broadcasts. The bad stuff about the church that always gets the headlines. By the way, the good stuff hardly ever is told. You've heard the reports about children abused by priests. You've heard the stories of churches' financial mismanagement. You've sat in irritated astonishment when some TV evangelist jackass promises you, if you'll just buy his special blessed prayer cloth, if you'll buy his special dirt he's got from the Holy Land, all of your financial and health problems will be solved. Yes, I can understand why some skeptics and doubters today feel a day like Pentecost, the birthday of the church, is no big deal. I wish I could argue with them, but I can't. But what I can do, and what you can do, is to say this as clearly as we are able: things aren't always what they seem. Yes, there are clergy scandals. But for every one preacher that's been an embarrassment to Jesus and the church, I can show you hundreds who faithfully give their lives in proclaiming the true message of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are a handful of stupid and silly shenanigans by TV and radio evangelists. But there are long-time Christian messengers on the airwaves whose ministries are above reproach. Think of the ministry of Billy Graham. Another example would be the Lutheran Hour that's been on radio, TV, and the internet now for over 80 years. Things are not always what they seem. I dare say you may even know some not so nice Christians. Some not so nice Christians. I'm not surprised. Christians are sinners. We're all sinners. And it's a mistake for people to judge Jesus on the basis of the fault of a few of his followers. Yet at the same time, we all know our need to repent and to be a better witness by our lives and by our words for an unbelieving world. And this is exactly what we remember on Pentecost. Jesus promised and delivered to send his Holy Spirit to transform the disciples who were thick-headed and filled with cowardice into those the Scripture calls those who turn the world upside down for him. The same Holy Spirit is busy at work today. He is creating faith in your heart and the heart of every person who hears the Word of God proclaimed. He comforts you in your time of loss. He strengthens you in your time of weakness. He continues to build the church all over the world. He removes from you the fear of death. You may wonder, in this world, is anything anymore what it seems? You can be sure of this. The love of Jesus, your Savior, the forgiveness that he won for you at the cross, the victory he gave you at the empty grave, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to create and sustain faith and to build his church, these things are exactly as they seem. You see, the words of Peter's sermon on that first Pentecost Sunday are being fulfilled again. Listen carefully. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit, and it shall come to pass that everybody who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is God's promise, a promise written in the blood of Jesus, our Savior. This promise of God is true. It is indeed just exactly what it seems. You can count on it. In the name of Jesus, amen.